Velociraptors, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat, test 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
What's going on? Welcome back to Eyes Up Fantasy Podcast. It's your boy, the realist, the champion. Back to back to back, three-peat champion. Shout out to the Big Ballers League, the real Jorge. And I'm right here with my co-host.
Yo, yo, this your boy Rick Rugg. Y'all know, Sundays are one of the most beautiful days for us football fans. And yes, we got a lot of info for you guys.
Yes, sir. Rick Rock in the building. And I just want to kick off the show. I have no time to waste. Hella exciting game this Sunday morning. Because if you guys listen to our very latest episode, we had our special Raiders insider, Steve Alfaro, and he said that the Las Vegas Raiders were about to kick the New York Jets' ass. Little did he know that Sam Darnold was active and live. That dude was looking like the Sam Darnold from USC back in the day. And the Raiders, man, watching them was like nails on the chalkboard. I was cringing the whole game. I had the Raiders winning too. I had some money on the line. And boy, I thought my money was gone, man, especially to the last second. Fortunately, the Jets were not able to get a pivotal first down as the clock was expiring, and they had to punt off the ball back to Derek Carr. Hey, even then, we all know Derek Carr. He's not clutch. He does not have that clutch gene that you're like, he's going to make a miracle play. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, they're all legends because they could make those plays. But, man, was I mistaken, because Derek Carr, with 5 seconds on the clock, he threw a bomb to Henry Ruggs, who I was just asking about, where is Henry Ruggs all season? And he came in clutch and carried the Las Vegas Raiders on the last-second touchdown win, with the final score in that one, 31-28. What are your thoughts, Rick Rock? What happened in that game?
Man, to me, it was a wild game for me. You know why? Because, let's be honest, everybody expected the Raiders to stomp on the Jets. Everybody expected them. I mean, you even put money on it. I didn't. I was kind of iffy about it. I started Devin Booker. Mistake. That's another topic for another day. But, you know, it was Sam Darnold. Man, he actually, you know, when he has the receivers, when he has the O-line, he can actually do some things. And he can actually run, too. He's very athletic. And that's something that we haven't really seen from him. And it's sad because he has a lot of talent. As far as the Raiders, once again, it seemed like it was a back-to-back trap game like we talked about in a previous episode. But, hey, shout out to Derek Carr, who had a monster game. He had a monster game fantasy-wise and just a typical game. And, you know, they never gave up. The defense made the right stops at the right time. And then Derek Carr, like you said, with a bomb to Ruggs. I mean, that was unbelievable. I still can't believe that happened because I was actually on the chat from my other league, the Quest. Shout out to the Quest League, where I was going in right before they threw the bomb, bro. And it was karma, because once that happened, I was like, wow, I can't talk smack on that league no more. But it was a great game for the Raiders. Great win for the Raiders.
Yeah, and to be exact, that Henry Ruggs play was for 46 yards, and it was Henry Ruggs' lone touchdown of the day. He actually received for 84 yards on 3 receptions. Derek Carr, he had 3 touchdowns in that game, 1 interception. And as Rick just mentioned, Devin Booker, he shit the bed. Excuse my French, but he rushed 16 times for 50 yards, no touchdowns. Everybody thought he was money. He was going to fill in Josh Jacobs' shoes. Nope, that didn't happen. But let's not forget, man, the MVP of the game, Darren Waller.
And dude, you know this, man.
Thank you, Smokey. Smokey's a big Raider fan, because this fool got 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, his longest play of 38 yards on 17 targets, 13 receptions. Darren Waller, I thank you. You're in my fantasy lineup, And boy, did you drop 30 points for your boy. Let's go.
Yeah, amazing game. Amazing game for Darren Waller. And we all know the story of what he went through when he got drafted for the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, his substance abuse problems that he had. He has overcome a lot. And we all knew on our rankings, we had him top five tight end. And, of course, on and off season, but he's finishing strong. He's finishing strong. And that's something that we want. I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl this year, and he deserves it. And you know what? Those Monsters games, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, Henry Ruggs was quiet before that bomb. Aguilar, he's been having a great season, but he didn't really show up all game. And, you know, I mean, when you have that much talent like Waller has, come on now. Game plan is to stop Waller, and the Jets did not do that. Shout out to Darren Waller from the iSub podcast. We here. We see you. Congrats, my man.
Yeah, big L for the Jets defensive coordinator, because if, as Rick just mentioned, if you want to stop the Raiders, especially with Josh Jacobs out, you got to double, triple team this guy. And I did not see that all game. Waller just had one-on-one matchups, and Derek Carr, he depicted those, and he scored twice on the day throwing it to Waller. So with that win, just to finish off and wrap it up with that matchup, the Raiders have moved on to 7 wins and 5 losses for the season. And up ahead in the schedule, they'll be facing the Indianapolis Colts at home in Las Vegas on December 13th. And, hey, I know Steve Alfaro's excited because they're in the playoff picture again. For the Jets, they have taken their 11th consecutive loss of the season. Yes, they are winless the entire season. And it's not going to get any easier, because for the next 4 weeks, they have the Seattle Seahawks on the road, the LA Rams on the road, the Cleveland Browns, who again won this Sunday. And to close it off for the season, they got the New England Patriots. Oof. I don't know if they're going to pull off a win. What do you think, Rick?
They're not winning a single game. They're going to go 0-16.
Are they a lock for the number one 2020 overall pick?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, yeah, that as much as Sam Darnold is showing that those flashes, the Jets have already made up their mind. They're going to go after Trevor Lawrence, the QB from Clemson. And it's a wrap. I mean, the only thing that's going to stop them from getting Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick in the draft, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, because I think he has gone on the record to say that if the Jets have the number one pick, he ain't coming. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I have Denzel Mims, I have Jamison Crowder, I have Perryman. Those three wide receivers, they're pretty solid. And then the tight end.
Chris Herron, the tight end.
Yeah, Chris Herron, the tight end. Yeah, and you have Pirine, the running back, the rookie running back, this angel right now.
Frank Gore?
Anyways, so now I'm just, and they have a good tackle. They have a good left tackle. So they have the pieces on offense now. If they can all stay healthy, if I'm Trevor Lawrence and I'm looking at that, it's New York. It's a Big Apple. You're going to want to go to that team. You're going to want to go to the city now. And I think he's built for that, you know, because if he's in a big program like Clemson, I think he'll be able to handle that Big Apple pretty much.
Also, before we move on to the next matchup, is Adam Gase sticking around? Because, I mean, to his credit, the talent isn't there on that roster. The defense is very depleted. The offense is mediocre at best. And, I mean, yes, he hasn't won all season, but I don't know what coach could have won with that team this year.
Nah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Look at Brian Flores. I mean, yeah, they drafted Tua, but Tua was a question mark. Yeah, he had Fitzgerald. I mean, he had, you know, decent receiver in Devonta Parker. I mean, they didn't even have a running back. You know, Gaskin just came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? So they had a decent tight end in Gizicki. But, you know, you can't really look at it like that. You know, to me, it's more about, like we talked to Steve in the last episode, it's about you changing the culture, and he never did that. I mean, he booted Le'Veon Bell. He pretty much tried to sabotage Le'Veon Bell career, which is sad, and he's done it with other players that have gone to flourish in other offenses. You know what I mean? So it's the coach, the first day of hire, where he's actually looking like he's on crack cocaine or something, you know, at the press conference. I mean, that should have been a sign for the Jets to be like, nope, uh-oh, I'm out.
You couldn't have said any better. I was just trying to trick you into saying that Adam Gase should have another year under his belt, but it's his time to go, man. I'm sorry, Adam Gase. I'm sure New York Jets fans could agree with me, and we'll see what the future unfolds. Switching gears to game number 2A. This was the biggest upset of the week because the division leader in the NFC East, the New York Giants, under Colt McCoy, backup QB, going against Russell Wilson, Mr. I deserve an MVP. I'm having the best season of my career. I'm dating Sierra. I'm a stud. I want to be an NFL legend. Took a hot L with the Giants winning in this one 17-12. What happened, Rick?
It was a trap game, man. I mean, it's just one of those games where you didn't see that coming. I mean, let's be honest. You got a New York Giants team that, you know, it has a backup quarterback, a backup running back. Their O-line has not been consistent all year. But one of the things they did have was their defense. Their defense is actually top 10 in the league this year, believe it or not, with what I would call them. This is what I would call the Giants defense, a no-name defense, because they don't have stars in that defense, except for Lawrence in the defensive tackle.
They have a couple stars. Don't forget Leonard Williams. He got traded last year from the Jets. The Jets made a huge mistake because he had 2.5 sacks in this one. Also, don't leave out your boy Jabril Peppers. That guy's a first-round talent player, and he's having a hell of a season. He also had a sack in this one. I mean, I get what you're saying. Majority of the defense, there's a lot of names that we don't know about, but they have X factors on defense, and when their name is called, when they need to make a play, they show up. Every time I looked at Russell Wilson in the pocket, this guy was freaking out. He was trying to create his little magic by, like, ducking and trying to squeeze in through the tackles. Hell nah. Those big, bulky New York Giants defensive linemen, they got to eat today because I saw Russell Wilson at least get sacked 3-4 times.
Yeah, and that's one of the weaknesses for the Seattle Seahawks if you really go back to the beginning of the year. Their O-line is not that great. Russell Wilson has to run for his life most of the time, which is, you know, pretty pathetic to me. It's been like 4 years now that Russell Wilson has been able to do what he has been able to do without an O-line. Imagine if he would have had an O-line. But, you know, going into this game, I'm sure Seattle, it was a trap game, like I said earlier. And this is the first time where I actually seen Russell Wilson and that offense be completely, completely out of sync. By far the worst game of the season. Seattle allowed 190 yards rushing. You know, including 135 to Wayne Gallman. Because if you have him in your roster, he's going to be a league winner. Wayne Gallman, the starting running back now. Remember, the main running back is Saquon Barkley.
And it's crazy to say because Saquon wasn't having a good season behind that offensive line. And all of a sudden, as Rick is praising, where did this kid come from? What makes him so special with that offensive line or even that offense?
To me, it's more about you got to be able to run south. That's it. You know, like you can't really just try to dance your way into trying to break a run for a home run every time like Barkley always tries to do. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. Saquon is one of the best running backs, one of the most talented running backs in the league. But there's just something about the way he runs and the scheme that he is. But Gallman, he's been balling. I mean, come on now. Like, it just to me, it just doesn't add up. Like, as a fan, it doesn't add up. But if you go look and watch Gallman play, he's a north and south runner. That's all he does. And he has the ability to make people miss. And he can take those hits like everybody else, you know. So one of the things that I was very impressed with the game is that Russell Wilson, like you said, he was running for his life. And to have, you know, DK Metcalf have that kind of game and the cornerback, I forgot, you're right, they do have stars. Bradbury, I believe that's his name.
James Bradbury.
Yes, he's actually one of the, he's becoming one of the top cornerbacks. And he was at DJ Mac.
Huge offseason signing.
Yes.
Huge offseason.
Definitely agree with that. So, you know, to me, it helped us, the 49ers, like as far as like Seattle losing, but it was definitely a game that nobody gave the New York Giants to win at Seattle, mind you. Yes, there's no fans, but they were playing on the road with Colt McCoy. And that's something that you're not going to forget. Now, it's just sad because now everybody is seeing the weakness that the Seattle Seahawks have, which is their passing defense. They're last in the league in passing defense. And even a backup quarterback was able to expose them today. Yes, when the 49ers played them, it was what, Beathard and Nick Mullins, you know, at Seattle. So it was a horrible game. And I believe we didn't have our main wide receivers. I think we have Brandon Ayuk. I just think that, you know, Seattle can score with anything, but when they face a good defense, they have trouble doing that. And that's what happened today. And people should not be surprised because Seattle is going to make the playoffs, but they're going to get exposed. You know, they're going to get exposed. You know, all you got to do is double team DK and let Lockett eat, and you'll win the game. You know, that's just what's going to happen, whoever's going to face the Seahawks, because there's a blueprint, and it's been shown already. Because Seattle should have lost the last two games too, but Russell Wilson being Russell Wilson came back and helped him win the game. And this is how bad Russell Wilson finished the game. He finished with a QB rating of 78.1. His stat line for the day was horrendous. He completed 27 of 43 attempts. Once again, 27 of 43 attempts for 263 yards and a long touchdown. You know what I mean? So it just...
Not to mention he had 5 sacks on the day.
Wow, see
he
that?
He got sacked 5 times.
See what I mean? It's just something that if there's a blueprint, go get him. Just go get him.
And if you guys were watching the game, on the fourth quarter specifically, he had many chances to do his fourth quarter comebacks. He had at least 2 to 3 chances, and he couldn't come in clutch because, as we mentioned in the beginning of the segment, that New York Giants defense is for real. They're a top 10 NFL defense currently. They could possibly even end up as a top 5 NFL defense. So shout out to the head coach for the New York Giants, Joe Judge. He knows what he's doing. And with that win, the New York Giants, they're gaining wins at the perfect time because the NFC East, all the other teams, they're falling apart, man. The Philadelphia Eagles, I'm sorry, Wentz, I think your time is almost done. They actually threw in the rookie Jalen Hurts, finally. He's finally came into the game. He looked like your typical rookie because he hasn't had a lot of game action. He threw a couple picks in that one, but he also had a nice touchdown. On the flip side, we'll see how the Washington Redskins respond, especially after having so much time off. You don't even know how they're going to do. And mind you, they're facing the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers, 11-0. So we'll see if the Redskins could even keep up with Big Ben. And to finish off, on the very bottom of the NFC East is the disappointing Jerry Jones-led Dallas Cowboys. They have been the biggest disappointment for the NFL season. So if you're a New York Giants fan, hey, man, it's time to crack some beers open, enjoy a cold one, because they're on a roll. I don't think they're going to give up the lead that easy, because when a team has the momentum, especially this deep into the regular season, heading into week 14, you're almost a guarantee to make playoffs. So, bravo, New York Giants. I thank you, especially for handing the Seattle Seahawks that hot L that was much needed. I'm glad the Seattle Seahawks, they're going to be grounded by this loss. They're going to have to fix their game plan up, because whatever they were trying to do in this game, it was not working. Russell Wilson cooking, throwing 43 attempts in this one, is not working. They need to go back to their identity, which is running the game through Chris Carson. That guy's back and healthy, and they didn't utilize him like they usually do. And that's why they were only able to put up 12 points. They put too much pressure on Russell Wilson. New York Giants defense is just that much better. And boom, 17-12. losers.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the New York Giants. And but you gotta give the Giants defense a lot of credit. And I just think that they're gonna be a good sleeper team. Like, a lot of people are gonna sleep on the Giants, because if they take care of business in the NFC East, they'll host a playoff game. Imagine that. They'll host a playoff game, and nobody wants to go nowhere in the East because it's gonna be snowing and it's gonna be below degrees weather.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So, switching gears to third gear, I'm going to keep it with the NFC West, the game of the week. The LA Rams versus the Arizona Cardinals, who the Cardinals were hosting the Rams and took a L with the final score in that one, 38-28. And I did not see that coming, to be honest, because after Kyler Murray lost last week, I thought he was going to be motivated enough to gain more traction in the NFC West. But the Rams, they took a hot L to the Niners last week. And boy, that's why I'm saying this was a game of the week, because both teams, they were motivated to beat one another. And Sean McVay was able to out-duel coach Cliff Kingsbury. I really think the head coaches had a big influence to who was going to win in this one. And I believe Sean McVay, he just had a better game plan. Jared Goff, if you watched him, he was the good Jared Goff, because when Jared Goff plays, he's either really good or really shitty. And in this game, he stepped it up. What are your thoughts for that game?
I think that Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals offense is being exposed. The fact that they also don't have an O-line like Seattle, they're being exposed like crazy. And if you look at the game, Kyler Murray, how the hell are you going to control Aaron Donald? How are you going to control Lloyd? How are you going to control Brockers? How are you going to control them boys? You know what I mean? Kyler Murray was also running from his life the entire game, and he was off. Now, there was a lot of criticism towards Jared Goff from his own head coach after last week's loss to the 49ers. And this was something that I believe, you know, Jared Goff took to heart. He came and played a heck of a game against a very good, very good Arizona Cardinals team. His stat line was, he completed 37 of 47 passes for 351 yards and a touchdown, and he rushed for another touchdown. He responded.
And he was only sacked once.
Yes, he was only sacked once. So if Goff is, he's a streaker quarterback. Once he gets going, it's hard to stop. Where there's going to be a running game, who's been very inconsistent for them, because they got to use three running backs, which is really frustrating for a lot of fantasy owners. Trust me, I'm one of them. But it's just the team. Their defense is legit, because you got Ramsey shutting down one half of the field. And he had a solid game against Hopkins. Hopkins is just a beast regardless.
He's just a monster, yeah. Yeah. Dude, I mean, first of all, Kyle Murray threw a perfect dart to DeAndre Hopkins, and Hopkins caught it from the side and hauled it in for a touchdown, his only touchdown on the game. Also, he was able to get 52 yards in this one. Unfortunately, as Rick just mentioned, Jalen Ramsey stopped Hopkins to only 52 yards. His longest play of the day was 10 yards. And yeah, he did shut down half of the field.
Exactly. The Rams defense is pretty legit. You know, they intercepted Kyler Murray twice. They had a pick return for a touchdown. So Kyler Murray, he has lost three straight games, and he's looked very inconsistent. And that's just, I don't know if it's the O-line. I don't know if, because he came up in an injury report about 2 weeks ago with a shoulder injury after the Seattle game. So I don't know if something that they're not telling us, you know, I don't know what it is, but he has not looked like himself after that game. And
I don't think it's his shoulder injury, because Cliff Kingsbury, he wouldn't allow Kyle Murray to throw more than 10, 20 times in this game. But in this one, he had 39 attempts. He completed only 21 of those for 173 yards, three touchdowns, one interception, was sacked twice for a QBR rating of 80.4. And what I'm trying to say is, on the flip side, the game plan for the running, they only rushed the ball 21 times. So they heavily favored the passing game. So I don't think it's a shoulder injury, man.
You know, I keep watching the tape on Kyle Murray, the offense. They're not in sync.
They're very predictable.
It's a college-style offense, and it worked the first half of the season. But now the second half of the season, it's not working. It's not working at all. So the Cardinals, I bet you Hopkins is seeing flashbacks because that's what the Houston Texans did when he was over there, where they would start hot, and then they would lose those games at the half of the season. So, I mean, and it's not going to get any easier for the Cardinals. The Cardinals are going to face the New York Giants next Sunday. For the Rams, yes, it's another pretty tough matchup against the New England Patriots, who shut down, completely destroyed
Justin Herbert, the rookie?
Yes.
Rookie of the year?
Yes, they destroyed Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. It was embarrassing. I hope that head coach gets fired tomorrow, because come on now. New England's defense has not been that consistent, and Cam Newton had a monster game. Yes, I dropped Cam Newton too. But you know what? It's just sad, man. It's just terrible what's going on right now.
And sticking to this matchup between the LA Rams and the Arizona Cardinals, we got to give a shout out to your boy, Cam Akers. If you guys follow our page, he was a must start this week, and he did not disappoint. He led the team in rushing with 21 rushing attempts, 72 yards, his longest run on the day, 12 yards, which is his only lone touchdown. We told you to must start him, and he got me 15 fantasy points, baby. If you're in a competitive league, Cam Akers possibly could have still been available on the waivers because not a lot of people had tabs on him.
Nope. We've been preaching Cam Akers for the past 3 weeks, and even in the offseason, that he could be the main running back at the end of the season, like is happening right now. That's going to be the guy that you will and must start in all leagues. So if you haven't added him yet, and if you slept on him, too bad. The next person is going to grab him. Now, with the Cardinals and the Seahawks lost, it actually benefits the 49ers in every way. If the 49ers win tomorrow, the 49ers could be two games out of first place in the NFC West and in a three-way tie with the Cardinals and Vikings for the final wildcard playoff spot. So I'm going to give all the credit to the real Jorge, to Dr. Mario and to Dr. JJ, because they've been so positive about the 49ers. I'm not going to lie.
JJ's not a doctor.
I mean,
JJ's a professor.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Shout out to Dr. Mario and Professor JJ, because, you know, you guys have been calling the 49ers. I'm a diehard. But the way the injuries came from piling up, I mean, I kind of threw in the towel. And yes, I was saying about tanking, but no, I'll take that back now. So, if the 49ers take care of business tomorrow, hey, we still in it, baby. We still in it.
And you know this, man.
And just to add to that point, which is exactly our next topic, is the NFC division race. With the Seattle Seahawks losing, they now drop to 8 wins and 4 losses for the season. The Arizona Cardinals losing, they now drop to 500 at 6-6 for the season. With the Niners, they still have to play Monday night. They have won 5 games, 6 losses. The NFC West division leaders currently are the LA Rams. Mind you, the San Francisco 49ers have swept the Rams this season. So if somehow, some way, we're able to tie in the end of the season with the LA Rams, we'll have the tiebreaker and we could potentially win the division just off that. For the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, I know they're biting their nails because in week 16, we are facing the Arizona Cardinals on the road at State Farm Stadium, which the Niners are going to play the next 3 weeks as their quote-unquote home games. So that's going to be exciting to watch week 16. And to close out the season, shout out to my co-host, Dr. Mario said it early in the season. Those two last games of the season are going to be pivotal. They're going to be the deciding factors if the Niners are going to squeeze into the playoffs. And it's looking like it, because Seattle is the closing game for the season. And we all remember what happened last season. Shout out to my boy Dre Greenlaw, that nasty hit in the end zone where he was able to stomp Seattle and keep him out of the end zone. That tackle helped us win the division last season. And hopefully this year we're facing Seattle, and it's a must win to make the playoffs, and our defense is ready. I don't know if y'all noticed, but our defense is more motivated than ever right now. especially after the whole rumors coming out that Robert Saleh is done after the season. Richard Sherman is also done after this season. I know the Niners are not going to want to give up because we're going to lose a lot of talent this year, especially this offseason after all the offseason signings we got to bring back players.
You're completely right. We have about 28 free agents after this season, including Uncle Sherm, a.k.a. the best to ever do it at cornerback. And I think he will be the best to ever do it, or one of the best to ever do it at free safety or strong safety if he decides to move there next year. And with the connection that he has with Saleh, if Saleh goes to Detroit or the New York Jets, I best believe Sherman is going with him.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yeah, so as I just mentioned, you guys, I'm just going to reiterate the NFC current standings. Leading the division is the Los Angeles Rams at 8-4 with a division record of 2-2. Those two losses are against the SF Niners. And then right behind them is the Seattle Seahawks, also at 8-4. And on third place, we're breathing down their necks, the Arizona Cardinals and the Niners, which is our next subject. The San Francisco 49ers, they'll be facing the Buffalo Bills on Monday night primetime football. I wouldn't want to have it any other way. I'm excited to watch this Monday night football. I don't give a damn about the Washington Redskins and the Steelers. I don't give a damn about the Ravens and the Cowboys. Give me some Niner football. I miss it. Let's go. Let's get this dub. What are your predictions for this game?
You already know, man. You already know. Niners are going to stomp the Bills. Number one, the Bills have been really inconsistent. 49ers do have a chance. They have a monster power game. Their defense is legit. They have almost everybody back except for Bosa and D4, which I really don't care about D4. And one of the holes that the Buffalo Bills have, they're really inconsistent against the run. So that actually works to the advantage of the 49ers. Mostert, we also just got back Tevin Coleman. He's going to play. Jeff Wilson is also back. We have Debo back. We have Ayuk back. And Kyle Shanahan's saying that, you know, he's hoping for Jimmy G to come back and George Kittle too. So right now, the 49ers got momentum because it was a huge win, huge, huge win against the Rams last week. And the Rams, to me, offensive-wise, they're a lot better than the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Buffalo Bills offense is being led by Josh Allen, one of the best upcoming young quarterbacks in the league. And yes, he's very inconsistent as his passing goes, but he has Diggs. And we know Diggs because we played him in the playoffs. And he's one of the top wide receivers in the game, no matter what anybody says. But other than the two weapons, I mean, they don't really have nobody back there. I mean, Singletary's been inconsistent. Zach Moss, a rookie, he's been inconsistent. And the 49ers are pretty good against the run. So this is going to be a very close game. But I see the 49ers pulling this game off with Nick Mullins and Brandon Ayuk. Actually, I'm calling Brandon Ayuk to have a monster game because Deebo Samuel is going to get a lot of coverage from Tre'Davious White, who's one of the top three cornerbacks in the whole entire league. So Brandon Ayuk is going to take us to that win, and the 49ers are going to be back in business.
Yes, sir. And I couldn't agree anymore because heading into this week, a lot of NFL fans and Las Vegas bettors, they were betting on the Bills, not a heavy favorite, but they were a favorite of 4 points. But after this weekend, the tables have flipped. The SF Niners, they're going as favorites into this one with a -1. So what does this mean? Early in the week, a lot of people were betting on the Bills. That's why they were favored by 4. Now heading into this weekend, more people are starting to bet on the Niners, and that's why they're favoring in this one. The over-under in this one is also 47.5. So Las Vegas is predicting that this is going to be a high-scoring game. What does that mean? Points are expected to come out of our offense. As Rick just mentioned, we have almost our entire offense healthy. And a key player who has been healthy the last 2 weeks has been Trent Williams. He has been our biggest key contributor. It's one of the biggest keys to the game, I believe, is the offensive line. If our offensive line is able to keep up with the Buffalo Bills defensive line, we're already off to a good start in the game. Our second key, as Rick also mentioned, is our offense, our running game. All of our running backs are healthy. If our offensive line is producing well, our running backs are going to produce well. And let's not leave out the Yak Bros. Now, two members of the Yak Bros are back. Unfortunately, George Kittle, he's still recovering. But, hey, Air Ayuk. If you remember Air Ayuk on that one hurdle where he posterized that defender and scored a touchdown against the Philadelphia Eagles, you know who I'm talking about. Our rookie is phenomenal after yards after the catch, and he mimics his game a little bit from Deebo Samuel. He's not as big and strong as Deebo Samuel, but he has a little bit more speed, and he'll burn you on the outside. My third key to this game, which is almost any NFL team's key, is protecting the rock. Don't turn the ball over. If you just keep the ball and you don't convert those pivotal third downs, as long as you're able to play the field and not allow the Buffalo Bills to get those easy scores, I think we're going to be all right, because our defense is our strongest asset for the San Francisco 49ers. If you've been watching San Francisco 49er football the last 2 weeks, yes, against the Saints, we kind of fell back against Taysom Hill, but that's only because our defense was tired. We didn't have a strong offense that game against the Saints. Moving forward after the bye week, our defense was well-rested. Nick Mullins, he was not able to convert as many first downs as I hoped, but he did enough, man. As long as you do enough and our defense is well-rested throughout the whole game, especially leaning into the fourth quarter, our defense is stepping up, man. Fred Warner's killing it. Arik Armstead, I'm so happy he's back, because with Arik Armstead getting double-teamed, that's why we saw Javon Kinlaw excel. Javon Kinlaw, he has been able to break away from defenders on one-on-one matchups. And I believe Javon Kinlaw in the future, once we get Bosa back, I don't know about D Ford. I'm so over D Ford, honestly. He's stupid, injury prone. Kick him to the curb. But if with Nick Bosa being healthy, Javon Kinlaw and Arik Armstead are going to eat. Because last season, Arik Armstead was the leader in sacks for the team. I actually believe we have a monster on the defensive end. How could I forget Hyder? This guy's a stud. He's the leader in sacks for our team right now. He has 7.5 sacks this season, and I love his sack celebrations. His last one, he pretty much sacked the quarterback, opened the vault, and he said, "Pay me, baby. I'm right here. This is what I want my home to be." So with Richard Sherman gone and after trading Quan Alexander, I believe the Niners will have enough capital to share the wealth. What are your thoughts, Rick? What are your keys to the game?
You pretty much covered it all, man. I think the defense has to play good. Javon Kinlaw is a big key for me. Fred Warner, he's having an all-pro season. So Fred Warner's going to come in ready. Hey, let's not forget about Jason Verrett. He's a beast. Him and Richard Sherman at 1 and 2. Cornerbacks, hey, if you think about that, the outside corners, we're pretty solid right now. And our defense is still one of the top defense in the league. To me, it's going to be up to a running game, like you stated earlier, and no turnovers. The defense is going to come to play, without a doubt. No turnovers and our defense. They got to carry us until Jimmy G and until Kittle get back. And then from there on, we're going to take off. If we somehow manage to lose, hey, it's okay. We're still in the race. As long as we take care of business, like you mentioned, two games that we're going to have against the Cardinals in Seattle, we're going to be okay. The thing about our team right now, the 49ers, they are starting to put it all together. They're getting healthy. Once they do that, everything is going to fall into place. Shout out to Nick Bosa, because we really miss Nick Bosa.
Yeah, shout out to Nick Bosa. But, man, you couldn't put it any better, Rick, because I think NFL fans are quick to forget. The San Francisco 49ers were in the Super Bowl last year. We have the talent. We have the head coaching. What we don't have is health. 2020 is a BITCH because we have 25-plus players on IR, as Dr. Mario has mentioned in the previous episode, and that essentially is the reason why we're 5-6. If we had Jimmy G throughout the whole season, yes, I don't think he's better than Mahomes, but he's sure a lot better than Nick Mullins. And we haven't had our starting quarterback, our starting running back, our wide receivers, our tight end, our offensive line's been injured at times. Shout out to Trent Williams. I cannot shout him out enough, because this guy has replaced Joe Staley's shoes perfectly. I'm so excited, dude. I cannot wait to watch this Monday Night Football. I'm about to go to bed and, you know, wake me up when the Niners game starts.
Exactly. I can't wait, too, man. It's going to be one of the games. We're playing in prime time game. So, you know, the Niners, they always show up. Just like Jerry Rice once said, hey, it's prime time, baby. Let's show the world what we're all about. So, hey.
All right, with that, thank you, Rick Rock. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I'm so excited that you guys are able to keep up. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Ice Up Fantasy Podcast. Give us out a shout out. If you guys have any fantasy football related questions or any football questions in general, you know where to hit us up. And thank you for the love. We'll be back soon. Niners, let's go. Get this dub. Come on, baby. Get hyped up.
If the squad ain't with me, then it ain't right. Yeah. Hey. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah.
PPP love. Ay. Time to bring the bass.
Yeah. Hey. 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 Hey.
Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock.
This is Lights Up Fantasy.